Say it with me. Say, I am anointed. Come on, say it with me. I am anointed.
I am healed.
I am victorious.
I am creative.
I am powerful.
I am a walking miracle.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Greet somebody this morning, would you? Man, greet somebody. I think I need one of those. Let me switch it out. Can I use a music stand? I think that's too big. So maybe we could get that off and I'll just use this. Hey, everybody, happy Sunday. Amen. Do you mind if I sit today? Good. Real quick, let me just tell you a little bit about a series I did a number of years ago. You probably already have this. If you're new to the church, you may not. It said, Should a Believer Celebrate Halloween? And there's a couple of CDs inside. And, you know, if you can't afford it, we'll give it to you. But, you know, I don't know. What do we charge for these, Matt?
$5.
But we want you to get the information in your hand. And a lot of Christians struggle with that. So anyway, that's what this is all about. And I wanted to say thank you for all the Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames volunteers and workers. If you acted or produced or supported in any way and you were a part of that production, would you please stand? Those of you that were part, yeah, come on, guys. Everybody that was acting, come on, give them a great big hand clap. A star is born. Some of you are like really off the hook. Joe, you did Butch like nobody's ever done Butch. I loved it. Especially when you started calling him Pedro. That was powerful. And I think we had near 200 or more. Does anybody know the number? 200 or more decisions for Christ in three nights, something like that. And that's good. We open up in the West on the 27th, 8th, and 9th, 7 p.m. nightly, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So if you have family, friends that missed it, would like to see it, take them to dinner, drive on out, and be a part of the service. That'd be great to have you. And again, it's free admission, obviously. We do take a love offering. When you came in today, you should have received 90 days of decision giving at Church on the North Coast. Did everybody get one of these? If you did not, ushers, could you man yourself with a bunch of these? Ushers, are you around? Maybe they're out with the offering. Are they back? They're back? They're back. Okay. So, ushers, could you get some of these brochures? And for those of you that did not get one, would you please hold your hand up so we can get one to you? Okay, many people did not get a brochure. We want you to have one, and they're coming right now. They'll pass it out. It's a multiple brochure, two trifolds, and there's a card on the inside as well. And I'll give you some instructions on that at the conclusion of the service today, okay? But that's a brochure, 90 days of decision. We're in the middle of that, making lots of God decisions, right? One of them is your money, and we'll talk about that today. We don't want you to miss next Sunday. I'm going to be sharing with you in light of the political season we're in. I'm not going to give you an endorsement of a candidate if you're coming expecting that. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. But I am going to endorse the Lamb's agenda. And it'll be very clear what I support. And so you'll see biblically where we're at in all of that. And I know that it can be very divisive, because there are some here that affiliate with one party and there's others that affiliate with the other party. And I'm sensitive to that. You know, it's your private choice. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And I'll share that with you next week. So I'll look forward to that. It'll be fun. And, you know, it won't be controversial. It'll be good. Okay? So anyway, everybody get a brochure that wanted one? Yeah? Okay. Great. So what I want to do today is I want to share with you a message out of Genesis 14. So if you take your Bible and turn there, if you don't have a Bible, you can look at the screens or check out your iPad. If you're taking notes, you know, you might want to jot down some notes on this message. By the way, if you're visiting with us this morning as you're turning to Genesis 14, we want to invite you, Tina and I, to meet with us in this little room right there at the end. Don't get too familiar with that little room. They're about to demolish it. So that will be gone here in the next month or so, and then we'll have to go way down the end. But for right now, if you'll join us back there at the end of the service, we have a book for you entitled Every Day of Friday by Pastor Joel Osteen, struggling young pastor in Houston, Texas. So I'm trying to help him out by giving a few of his books away. So if you'd like a copy of that, you can check us out after the service. Genesis 14, 17 through 24. Now, I'm not going to read the text. I want to introduce you to the text. There's a multiple of three twos in this text. It's a good way to remember what happened in this particular story because it includes two kings. Everybody say two kings.
Two kings.
Now, that's really important that the story includes two kings. It also includes two offers. Say two offers. So you have two kings by two offers by two kings, and then you have two responses. Please say that with me, two responses. So you have two kings, you have two offers, and you have two responses that are in the text of Genesis 14, 17 to 24. The king of Sodom made an offer to Abraham. He basically said, here's what I want you to do. We defeated these five allied kings. And now that we've defeated them, all I want you to do is give me the people, and I'm going to give you all the spoil. Sounds like a great deal. Abraham would have been a fool by today's standards not to accept that offer, because he was being offered the money of five kingdoms in exchange for just offering the people that had been captured by these five allied kings to give them back to the king of Sodom. But Abraham refused his offer. Now we'll get into the story in just a little bit. The other king, not the king of Sodom, but this one, the king of Salem, he also made an offer to Abraham during this battle or at the conclusion of this battle. He brought to him bread and wine. And he offered him bread and wine, of which Abraham received from the hand of the king of Salem, or you know him as Melchizedek, all right? Melchizedek, the high priest. If you look to Genesis 14 and verse 23, I want you to take a look at that with me just for a minute. Abraham refused the response of the king of Sodom with this exchange. I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Now, in this political season we're in, I want to admonish us all to consider where our trust is. Do we have confidence in the source of the promises of kings of the earth? Or are we like Abraham that says, I will receive nothing from your hand, lest you say you were the resource of my increase? Now, this is really what's happening in this Genesis 14 text. If you look at verse 20, Genesis 14 says, part C of that exchange. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Now say this last part with me. Don't stutter. Don't get nervous. Don't be afraid. Are you ready?
Yes.
And he gave him a tithe of all. That was good. Actually, you were a little more vocal and bold than the first service. I congratulate you. He gave him a tithe of all. Whether it's a welfare check, a social security check, an annuity, whether it's a paycheck, doesn't matter what increase came into Abraham's possession. He connected with his high priest. He connected with his covenant through the giving of the tithe. This message is all about covenant connection. And in the hour in which we live, we cannot put trust and confidence in the contracts that are drafted by the wisdom of men. But we must raise our standard higher and recognize we also have a high priest who enables us and empowers us to have victory over our enemies. And our response to him is to give a tithe of all, because it connects us with a covenant, not a contract. Contracts can be broken. Covenants are never broken. Amen. Now I want you to look at Galatians 3, 6 to 9. Now this is important because the subject is Abram. Abraham is the father of our faith. You need to understand that our roots of faith in God through Christ is mirrored or is modeled by Abraham. For it is said of him that he believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Look at verse 6. Just as Abram believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Now that is a very important phrase for you to get a hold of and put in your spirit. Because as you and I sit here today, we are sons and daughters of Abraham. But notice this, we are of faith, and because we are of faith, we are blessed, or we are empowered for victory with believing Abraham. In other words, as Abraham was empowered for victory because of his faith and connection in covenant, so too are we who are in faith and like Abraham connected in our covenant. And we will experience the same level of victory that Abraham experienced. And not putting our trust and confidence in human wisdom or in man's economy, but that we put our hope in God. The God connection, or the covenant connection, I believe is the tithe. And it relates to three vital aspects of victorious Christian living. I was thinking this morning as we were driving into the first service. It was many years ago now that Lorraine, of which we are located in the West, was considering a decency ordinance. Only one of three in the nation. It was the first of three. This decency ordinance proposed that no adult entertainment could be located within the city boundaries, nor could there be any strip clubs or any adult-related entertainment on any level. Well, they didn't think it was going to pass because people are very open and receptive. But God spoke to our heart and said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Therefore, penetrate darkness. So we went to every 19,800 and some odd residences in the city, knocked on every door, and explained to the resident the importance of supporting this decency law. At the conclusion of the vote, it passed 3-1. Now, this city has many problems and challenges, but one thing to this day that it does not have within its city limits is any kind of perverseness and adult entertainment. And it's not because it was a good idea, but it was because there was a people of covenant that rose up and stood for morality. Recently, Cleveland just opened a casino. I understand they have great food. I haven't been there yet, but if you see me there, I'm there for the food. Just like you. Yeah. Anyway. Some years ago, a proponent came with the state of Ohio to establish a casino in the city of Lorain at the port of the Black River. This gentleman is a very wealthy individual with a lot of clout and a lot of connections. And so it went on the ballot. Once the city approved it, it could then become established and it become a statewide vote. And God spoke to us and said, you cannot allow a casino to come into your city. So once again, we went out to every resident, knocked on every door, shared with them why this would not be a good idea for our city. I remember testifying before the legislature in Columbus. I took a bus full of people, you know, crazy Pentecostal people. We went down to the Columbus. We were in the gallery and we were all singing Just As I Am, Amazing Grace, you know. They thought we were crazy. And I got a chance to testify. And my father, who had a third grade education from Hungary, was an immigrant, came through Ellis Island at age 12, worked hard all of his life in a coal mine for 26 years and then at U.S. Steel for another 23 years, died of black lung. I shared with them his story. And I talked about how this city was built on the back of his labor. And how proud he was to be able to pay cash for the house he lived in, pay cash for the cars that he drove, not have a checking account, a credit card, and paid for everything when he needed it up front. When he died, my mother told me that he had hid money away in a sewer downstairs because my dad didn't believe in the banks. He said, you can't trust bankers. Now, if you're in the banking industry, he wasn't talking about you. So I went down into the sewer on the floor drain and reached, and he had dug out a little hole on the side, put my hand in there and pulled out a round wad of money. I don't remember. Was it $10,000? $7,000. Smelled like sewer water, but boy, it spent like perfume. I'll tell you that. That was a fun day, man. $7,000. Anyway, I said to the legislators, putting a casino in the city would be like throwing poison-laced meat to a caged lion. It would be an insult to their regality, their strength and dignity. At that point, the proponent of this casino, I thought, was going to attack me. He came storming over into the testifying box, got in my face, and began to spit, yell, scream, who do you think you are? I checked with my priest and he said, it's okay. There's nothing wrong with gambling. And I don't know what you... I'm like, wow, this guy's out of control, you know. His attorney had to come over and pull him off of me and kept warning him, you're crossing the line here. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I'm proud to announce to you that that casino legislation failed 2-1. I'm saying that because of the presence of a God-believing, covenant-connected ministry. It's not by chance that we've gathered here in Valley View. Don't think for a minute that we just have no place else to go, so we thought we'd try this warehouse out and check it and see if it fits. It's a bigger picture here. God has assembled people together with purpose. God has assembled you and me in this house to become light and to become salt in a region that otherwise may never experience a move of God. I told Tina this morning as well, our Joshua Kids program that has been in effect for over 20 years. And some of the young children now are young adults. The young man Joseph just got back from Afghanistan. And he met us when we were, he was what, 5, maybe 4? The young people that, even though it's not in mass in numbers, that were preserved from life imprisonment for killing somebody because they were diverted and they found Jesus. Those that were not raped or drug addicted because they found Jesus and went a different path because there was a ministry present that had a God connection, that had a covenant connection, that understood the power of sowing and reaping and the tithe in the house that enables the ministry to have this kind of an impact in its region. What happened with Abraham's nephew was he had moved to Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll talk more about this next week. Lot chose for himself Sodom because it was fertile. The valley looked good. He ignored God's covenant and he acted on the impulse of his flesh. He found himself in a city, later Peter writes, whose soul was tormented day in and day out by the immorality of the people and their conduct. It was this young man who was now captured by an alliance of 5 kings who came against the Sodom and Gomorrah, conquered them, took all their goods, took all the people of which Lot and his family were part of the captives. Abraham hears about Lot's condition. One of the Amorites come to him and say, "This is what went down, Abraham. Lot, your nephew, has been taken prisoner." Abraham understood that his call was to bring people out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody can have church on Sunday. You could even throw in a few special meetings, a couple special speakers, a concert or two a year, a great Christmas program, and still never accomplish the agenda of God's heart, which is to take people out of darkness and transfer them in to His marvelous light. We've got to have a higher call. Amen? So Abraham, when he hears this, responds. He responds with a valiant heart. You see, I believe the covenant connection with the tithe relates to 3 vital aspects of victorious Christian living. I'm going to share with you 3 vital aspects, and I won't keep you long today. I understand we have a clam bake, so. But 3 vital aspects of victorious Christian living. I do not believe it is God's plan that a Bible-believing, Christ-professing, Spirit-filled believer live in defeat. I don't believe that. I believe God saved us, filled us, for the purpose of living as the head and not as the tail. To live above and not beneath. To be blessed when we rise up and to be blessed when we lie down. Amen? So you see, here's principle number one. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. Stay with me. I won't keep you long now. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Whether you are wanting to fight or not, the fight is coming to you. Well, I'm a lover and not a fighter. I appreciate that. But you're going to have to toughen up there, buddy. Because the fight's coming to your marriage. The fight's coming to your children. The fight's coming to your health. The fight's coming to your business. The fight is coming to this region. And so we see Abraham's battle plan must become our battle plan. What was his battle plan? This is a very important question to ask. Because in Genesis 14, verse 11 and 12, we read they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, all their provisions, and they went their way. Speaking of this alliance of kings. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom, all his goods, and they departed. Abraham knew he was about to engage in a battle. But how you fight is very, very critical. And whom you fight with is of utmost importance. Now go to Genesis 14 and verse 13. We see that, I don't think I have this slide, but I think in this verse, Abram is being informed of this battle. And I want you to see Mamre, Eshcol, Aner, and the last phrase of verse 13 says, and they were allies with Abram. These were formidable, warring groups. They were the Amorites. The Bible specifically says they were Abraham's what? Allies. Do you know what an ally is? Oh, this political rhetoric, huh? This is our ally. This is not our ally. That's not how you treat an ally. Let me tell you how you treat an ally. When you attack an ally, you attack me. For example, Israel. Israel is in covenant with God. Now watch. Any nation that has backed out of or away from blessing Israel, it has been to their demise. Check it out in history. If Syria, if Iran were to attack Israel, because we are allies, we would assume the attack was upon us. And we would defend their border as if it was our border, and rightly so. Notice this, though, in this scripture. Got to get this, church. Abraham had allies, but he didn't ask them to engage in battle. Now, when I saw that, I said, God, what's up? There's a reason why Abraham did not go to war with these people, even though they were allies, which tells me they had some form of covenant, which tells me my strength will cover your weakness. You see, so if I'm a farmer and you're a warrior and somebody's stealing my crops, my covenant with you will demand you protect my crops and I'll feed you from my harvest. Abraham said, I may be in covenant, I may have an ally, But let me tell you something. I have a higher covenant. Now watch what's with me, because this is important. Genesis 15, verse 16. Why did Abraham not go to battle with these three warring tribes against this coalition of five kings that have allied themselves against Sodom and have captured Lot, that one who is part of the inheritance of faith? But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Abraham said this, you might be my ally, but I can't go to battle with you because there is iniquity. You do not serve the same God that I serve. I wish I had about an hour more. I would like to talk to you about Chrislam. I would like to introduce to you the fact that there is a movement today by Christian evangelical pastors who are inviting imams into their pulpit to talk to them about the Jesus that's in the Quran. But let me tell you something about the Jesus that's in the Quran and the Jesus that's in the Bible that's in your lap. They are two diametrically opposed individuals. Abraham said, I will not come in covenant with that which is destined for judgment because of iniquity. What does that tell me? The blood hadn't covered them. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? The blind leading the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Do not be unequally yoked. Abraham said, I am not going to defile my covenant with the living God by putting a reliance upon a relationship with you, and you're not even a covenant man. That's what happened here. Now, again, we don't have an extra hour, so we're going to move on. But look at, with me please, Genesis 14 and verse 14. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants. But I want you to read the rest of that verse with me. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants. Now let's read. Who were born in his own house. Went as far as Dan. Key phrase. Were born in his own house. In other words, they were covenant people just like Abraham was a covenant man. He said, I am not about to engage in a battle of this significance and go there unequally yoked. I have to walk in covenant. I'd rather go up against five kings that have allied themselves, who have become the most powerful force of armament and weaponry and soldiers and making an advance and killing and capturing cities. I'd rather go with 318 covenant people than three warring tribes of non-covenant soldiers. That's what Abraham said. He refused to compromise his covenant. Now, if you look with me at 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 to 6, we're moving right through it. You okay so far?
Yes.
Okay. All right, this is important. This is a very important teaching. Because if you're going to learn how to live victorious in your Christian life, you've got to get your connection of covenant in your life established. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Come on, say it. According to the flesh. So in other words, it doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. I got three Amorite warring tribes that are my allies. I don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I recognize this battle is a spiritual stronghold. This is not a battle against flesh. Those five kings that have allied to come against Sodom, capture Lot, have very little to do with their agenda. There is a stronghold and a spirit behind this movement on the earth. I understand that. I'm a covenant man. I understand spiritual warfare. That's what he was saying. So I cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, I have more confidence in my covenant than I do in your political party. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I have more confidence in my covenant than I do in any millionaire's money. I have more confidence in my covenant than I do of 1,000 people that are behind me and want to sing my praise. I have more confidence in my covenant with God because I'm connected with my tithe, and I know that no matter what comes against me, I'm going to be victorious because He's promised to empower me with the blessing to overtake and overpower my enemies. Now watch. Verse 18 of Genesis 14. So then we see Melchizedek come into the picture. See, King Bera, or the king of Sodom, made an offer of allegiance to Abraham. Abraham refused to come into allegiance or covenant with a non-covenant man. Watch. Verse 18. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. King of Salem brought out the riches of this world. Right? Those are the two offers. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, watch it, here it is. Blessed be Abram of God Most High. Empowered to succeed. Empowered to be victorious. Empowered to win in every battle. That's what he was saying. Possessor of heaven and earth. You know, and some of us have the audacity to put a sign in our front yard that says, keep off my grass. It's not your grass. Oh, yeah, it is. It's my grass. It's my house. I paid a mortgage on it. Well, okay, maybe it's the bank's grass, but it's not your grass. God's a possessor of heaven and earth. How many know that He owns all things? Everything belongs to God. So He says, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Abram understood where his victory came from. It was in his covenant connection to God. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons. Take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. And then he says, I'll take nothing from you. I'll take nothing from you. Here's what you can do. You can give them to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their portion. Because they don't have a covenant. Those are the Amorite allies. Abram said, I'm not taking it because God blesses me. I don't want you walking around saying, we're the reason why Abraham's rich. No, I want you to know something. It's God, and God Almighty is the one that gave me increase. You can give it to these boys over here because they need it. Because they're walking outside of a covenant. So bless them. The only way they're going to get blessed is if you bless them. Now notice the hand of blessing from King Berir was this. It was limited. It was in the spoil of the last victory. But God's limitation of what He wants to bless and pour out upon you. The Bible says He will open up the windows of heaven and there will not be room enough to contain it. So you want this little blessing with King Sodom, or do you want to walk under the blessing of the God of Most High, possessor of heaven and earth? Amen. Number two. We're talking about Vital aspects of victorious Christian living. Number one, in warfare. Number two, in faith. The only human response God accepts is faith. Do not get religious and think if you cry and whine enough, God will finally give up and give in. God doesn't give up and give in to your whining and crying. He responds to faith. So let me say it again. The only human response God accepts is a life of faith. Now let me say this. A life of faith is our calling. What does the Bible say? The just shall, come on, say it with me. The just shall live by his faith. That's how we live. We live by faith. To refuse to tithe would be a denial of the emblems of the bread and wine of the covenant that's being offered by your high priest. And would testify that your faith is in someone or something else. Now let me just say that again. You got to get this. Because 80% of the money comes from 20% of the tithers in every church. I wish ours was different. But I've said time and time again. There would be no need to fundraise in any local church if everybody understood their covenant connection. We'd have to get up here and plead and give you a racer with an emblem on it or a little bell that you can ring. Need Jesus in your prayer time or something. Or a new CD of new music that came out. Or give you a copy of the book if you give $100. We wouldn't need to do any of that. We have so made juvenile the kingdom of God. Where we exchange trinkets for Manhattan. $23 of things that glitter. $23 of things that we think are valuable. And reality says, to not tithe is testifying that our faith is in someone or something else. He said, well, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. So you might just have to sell that thing. We'll get into that in just a minute. Number three, worship. Genesis 14, verses 18 to 19. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High, and he blessed him. He said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. The most essential aspect of pure and undefiled worship is in Abraham's response. The most essential aspect of pure and undefiled worship is in Abraham's response. Listen to me. A worship leader cannot take me into the presence of the Lord if they are not reliant upon the God of their covenant. You can't stand up here if you're not a tither. And if you aren't, either start tithing or you need to quit for our church. I mean, I'll just tell you the way it is. See, you wouldn't want me up here preaching if I wasn't a tither. I'm a tither. I have been since we've been born again. You can look at my giving record. It's not a problem. But a worship, if it's the most essential aspect of pure and undefiled worship is in my response to the blessing of God by the acknowledgement that he's my source, by the giving of my tithe, then I can't take you in worship where I've not been myself. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I know when I preach messages like this, some people, their face gets funny looking. Don't look at your neighbor right now because they may have that look. After service this morning, first service, I was greeting some visitors and a lady came up. She's smiling. And she said, it's great to meet you. I said, it's great to meet you. She goes, this is my husband. Ooh, his face was funny. He was trying to communicate to me, I don't like you. I don't agree with what you just said. I don't believe in that money thing. And I just tried to play it off. You know, that's great to meet you. I hope you come back. And then I was thinking, you know what? I don't really care if you come back or not. You say, well, Pastor, don't you love him? Yeah, I love him. But until he gets out of the Amoriteville and moves into the covenant house, you see what I'm talking about? Now watch. I just lost some of you right there. We're talking about worship. The blessing of Melchizedek. He said, blessed be. Blessed be. When God declares, blessed be over your life, you can't help but be blessed.
Amen.
There's no demon in hell that can hold back the empowerment to prosper in your life. Now, it's more than money. It's more than money. Your dog will even start licking your hand when you got the empowerment and the blessing of God on your life. He will. I think some dogs know non-tithers from tithers. They do. Rebecca's got this little chihuahua dog. And when you walk in the house, if you're a tither, she'll come up and lick your hand. If you're non-tither, she'll bite you. It's a joke. She does pick and choose, though. She does. She picks and chooses. But I don't think it's about tithing. I just made that up. Watch this. Blessed or empowered are you to prosper by God Most High. See, refusal to connect with your tithe says you are trusting in someone or something else other than God. Here's the problem. 80% of the church is serving a god of materialism. Because you think you can't live without that 10%. And you think it's yours. Like, keep off my grass. You know, we really think that it's ours. But it belongs to God. It's all God's. And my connection to Him is in exchange for His blessing and His empowerment is my acknowledgement that you are my source. Here's my tithe. By the way, those of you that argue with me, and I get all kind of arguments about this, that this was the law and you should not. We're under grace. This was before the law was tithe. Right? And Jesus, it's an interesting thing about Jesus. He actually enforced tithing in Matthew 23. He said, you ought to be doing these things, but also don't neglect this. So he did. That was his chance to go, that was Old Testament. Did you know that the Old Testament is Christ concealed? And the New Testament is Christ revealed? Now, there are regulatory laws that no longer are initiated. However, they reveal Christ. You can't throw them out. Don't skip Leviticus. When you're reading through the Bible, you go, oh, Leviticus. Yeah. Because Jesus is in there. Right? He's in there. Okay. And then delivered your enemies. Now, a couple more scriptures. Actually, one more. Genesis 14, verse 23. Again, I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap. I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. Understand something, that no matter how much you offer, no matter how much this world offers, you can't match the offer that Jesus is making. You can't even come close. And if you believe that they can, you have been seduced by a spirit of this age. And understand that a quality of life, victory in battles, not that you won't go through them, but you'll come through them. You'll come through on the other side victoriously. So connect to your high priest who lives to make intercession for you. When you connect to him, you connect to his intercession. Look, I like it if you pray for me. But ooh, knowing Jesus is praying for me? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. Whose blood has produced a new and living way directly to the throne room of God? Now, I'm going to ask you to close out the Ustream, turn off the recorder,